This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio.
And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where we might live upon the earth. And certainly, as I always say, this program is important for all people, because every people, every heritage, every faith has the right to preserve its way of life and to be free. And today we're seeing a tremendous human rights catastrophe in Gaza, which is really technically Palestine. In fact, the entire area is Palestine. We've had well over 1,000 civilians, men, women, and children murdered, at least 5,000 maimed, horribly disfigured. So we're talking about kids here in many cases and innocent women. The media continually defines terrorism as those who would kill innocent civilians and have no concern about killing innocent civilians in the pursuit of political goals. And if that's a correct definition, then certainly Israel is the greatest and the worst terrorist offender in the world today. I have with me on the line a lady that those who listen to my program are very aware of and who have a lot of respect for. It's Lady Michelle Renouf from Great Britain. And she has courageously been on the line defending not only the rights of European people, but also trying to find justice for the Palestinian people. And the truth is that European and American heritage and rights and Palestinian heritage and rights are all interrelated, because it's all really coming from the same source of power. The danger to the rights of every respective people are the same source of power. The Jewish extremists that control Gaza and the West Bank and all of Palestine today, what's called Greater Israel today, are the same Jewish extremists who dominate the American political landscape, who control the American political processes, such as Obama and McCain, who both pandered to the Jewish interests. And Obama, of course, has his chief advisor, and I think the truth is that Obama is simply the puppet. The real president is Rahm Emanuel and Axelrod. Obama is a creation, admittedly so, of these Jewish extremists. In fact, one Jewish publication talked about the fact that Obama was the first Jewish president, because Jews had critical roles in his development and in his campaigns. His campaigns, of course, were orchestrated by David Axelrod, who is also a Jewish extremist, who had a major role in the defeat of Charles Percy of Illinois, senators, the United States senators, who didn't give Israel 100% of his support and everything. He gave him 99.9%, but as you know, with the Israelis, 99.9 is not enough. You have to completely slavishly throw yourself under the wheels of their trucks to have any favor with them in the media. So we have a new president coming in. He will be sworn in on Tuesday, but he's just like the old president in the sense that he's totally beholden to the Jewish power. He didn't speak out on the Gaza incident and this murder. He said he couldn't talk about it because he wasn't president. However, he's talked about many other issues. He talked about the Mumbai terrorist attacks, but he couldn't talk about Gaza. And I think it's all part of the plan. The Jewish state, the Zionist extremists, they wanted to attack and commit this mayhem and murder while Bush was still president, so Obama could come in with clean hands. And because Obama is so beholden to the Jews, like Rahm Emanuel, the terrorist, and I call him a terrorist. He worked with the Israeli army, and anybody who would work with the Israeli army or with Al-Qaeda, to me, is a terrorist, dual citizen of Israel. He's the guy that's really chief of staff under the Obama administration, and, of course, as I said, David Axelrod. And we've got a situation where Obama's coming in with kind of clean hands. There's a lot of great expectations for him in the world. And because this murder has now been finished, the world will view Obama as kind of a peacemaker, and yet he's totally on the side and totally in the control of one side. as I told a friend of mine earlier, Dr. Edward Fields in Atlanta, I said, well, you know, the truth is, let's just take something like college football in America, or even just professional soccer or football in Europe. You know, imagine if two teams were playing. Let's say in America, LSU and Southern Cal were playing, and all the referees were in the employ of and in the control of LSU. Would that be tolerated by Southern Cal? And when we have these Jewish extremists and people in the control of Jewish extremists who are supposed to be the peacemakers, no wonder we don't have any fair peace in the Middle East. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring us right in with Michelle Renouf. And Michelle, it's great to talk with you. I heard you a little earlier on the Phil Turney show, you know, this great, courageous American veteran of the Liberty, and I heard you with Mark Glenn, and you really do a great job, and I want you to share some of your insights with our listeners on this whole situation in Gaza and some of the driving forces behind it.
Hello, David, and hello, listeners. Yes, they're very, very good. It's a very good program that Phil Turney, the survivor of the USS Liberty in 1967. There's a manifestation of this Jewish supremacy, that wonderful book, fabulously researched, that you have, that I've recommended on that program, as a matter of fact, and Mark Glenn, who quite well points out that when he talks about Islam, but I would say both prophets of Christianity and Islam, the one thing that they both said absolutely fundamental to our need to heed their warning, mm-hmm. is they both warned us of this terrible rabbinical Judaism. They held the mirror up and said, do not trust these people, this leadership, who, to my way of thinking, writes twist-speak, the deliberate cynical inverting of the facts. And because Judaism is in itself anti-Gentile, the definition of Judaism is anti-Gentile, and we see the Jewish Judaic machinations over your Jeffersonian America, over our Britain, over so many countries. We see the colossal impotence that we are living right in the moment of seeing the mockery that these people can do, where you have this shocking Ban Ki-moon, right. And the despicable silence that he has had, like Obama, for 18 or 19 days,
well,
and then
true,
he comes up with his lunacy.
Right. Well, it's true, isn't it, that the New Testament scriptures themselves, Jesus is shown very clearly to being opposed to the Pharisaic rabbinic power, the traditional Judaic power. In fact, that's why he was crucified, because he challenged them and criticized them. And the interesting thing is, and I tell this to a lot of my fellow Christian supporters around the world, is that Muhammad and of course the Quran literally defends Jesus from the vicious slanders of the Jews. The Jews say, of course, that Jesus was a bastard. I hate to use those words in connection with Jesus Christ, but as a bastard and an adulterer and many other horrible, a wizard and a devil and so forth, and says that Mary was, his mother was a prostitute, was a whore, and in fact,
well,
the Quran actually defends Jesus Christ.
Mm. Well, you know, I don't think in terms of the reality of either of those role models.
I
think of them as parables, the
mm-hmm.
two characters
right.
of Jesus and Muhammad as parables mm-hmm. to show us what is the concept of Judaism, which they came to hold the mirror up to.
Right.
And we have seen the impotence of Christianity because it's become first Testament, Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
rather than New Testament in this, the Christian mm-hmm. Zionist in America, the great voting
mm-hmm.
power.
Right.
So we have seen the corruption and the treachery to the New Testament there. What we have to hope for, as Mark Glenn hopes for, that Islam will continue to hold the mirror up as it's doing, because truly those Hamas are really fighting at the front line for all of us, and really they challenge the seemingly invincible. And mm-hmm. you know, we must recognize that we are the majority, that there is something we can do, and you have actually
right.
in your country this wonderful Professor Doyle, the professor of international law at the University of Illinois, and he has proposed that he has proposed to Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad, that he gives him the authority to go to the UN and establish this, what is called, subsidiary organ under the UN Charter, under Article 22, which allows the possibility to not worry about Ban Ki-moon and his puppetry, but to actually establish an international court where we can bring Israel for its war crimes. And I would go further than that. The actual Zionist entity itself is from the outset, and this is where I think the bottom line is constantly being overlooked. We are always led to the terms of the enemy and talking about the right of Israel to exist because of the so-called Holocaust, this covenantal idea that there was a burnt offering which enabled them to get the entity of Palestine and call it the Promised Land. Well, of course, it was a profiteering come true and a piracy. But nevertheless, it's got people misaddled, as your book well documents, to believe this is a prophecy come true. Well, of course, this bottom line is false. The fact is that from the outset, in 1897, at the First World Zionist Congress, Theodor Herzl, the founder of the Jewish state, had already in his diary announced the manifesto of that Jewish state, which as we see it in our own time, in our own eyes, now at this minute, being enacted, and it was to disappear the entire population of Palestine. His euphemism, to disappear, meaning to genocide. Right. So Israel never at any time had a moral right to exist. That is the bottom line that we never take to.
Well, before you go to the next point, one of your finest contributions, Michelle, has truly been to continue to point out that they always say that Israel was created and this state was created because of the crimes that were committed against Jews and the Jewish entity in the Second World War. But as you point out again and again and again, that international Zionism promising genocide against the Palestinians and really the ultimate ethnic supremacism, in fact, Nazism is probably a pretty good way to define it in terms of it's like a Hollywood form of Nazism, maybe not even like the actual German National Socialism, but that this long, long predated the Second World War and it's been going on
half
since
a
the
century,
time of the Middle,
50 years.
Well, the truth
50
is,
years.
and those kinds of activities, they go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the ancient times.
Yeah, so instead of saying their behavior is Nazism, let's say what it actually is. It's Judaism. Yeah. It's Judaism made manifest. It's the Old Testament that's lived out in Israel. That is what it is. And let's talk about Judaism, not Nazism. Nazism is a blip in history. Judaism is an ongoing lunacy. And we have the imposture of these people believing themselves. I mean, who would want to honor a God who says you have the authority to ethnic cleanse the land? And what moral authority would we want to respect with that? What kind of a God want to respect?
In the Old Testament, that's right. Kill every man, woman, and child.
And rip up the trees.
Right, and obviously something is said very differently from that in the New Testament, obviously. But yes, the Old Testament does. And of course, and the truth is that the Old Testament is a small part of this Jewish supremacist ideology today, because now the supreme Jewish text, of course, is the Talmud, the Halakha, and the Jewish law. And the Talmud just lays out in the most graphic and violent and absolutely obscene terms how
Gentiles
aren't
basically
even human beings and worse than dogs and should be killed and massacred and cheated and lied to and raped. And it's just unbelievable. They just say it flat out.
That's why I say that Zippy Libni, who is the foreign minister in Israel, when she says in the midst of this genocide that she is carrying out, culling the Palestinians, particularly the women and children, which, of course, kills off the generations, that's why they aim for the children, she is saying there's no humanitarian crisis. Well, in her terms, of course, that's true, because for her mentality, the only humans are Jews, because that is what the Talmud teaches, and so does the Old Testament, if you read it like Jews are supposed to read it, not in terms of how Christianity interprets it. If you read it as it was supposed to be read, then she's right. Yes,
that's right.
There are no humans in Palestine. There are only the Jews.
Well, just a few years ago in Israel, I think it was, one of the Israeli officials said that a thousand Palestinian lives aren't worth one Jewish fingernail. Remember
that
quote.
Yes, well, you can see that that is the way that it's being lived out, and this is the type of thing that these people who are Christian Zionists have been duped into believing, because the particular gift that Jewish leadership has always exampled is its gift of the narrative, to seduce and to twist speak and to package falsely. And we see this beautifully. And as I say, my expertise is an odd contribution, because I've acted in television commercials internationally all of my life. So I understand about packaging and mispersuasion. And this is not in our interest. It is all anti-Gentile by definition. And by definition, it cannot have a morality. So first of all, the bottom line that is always accepted, that Israel has a right to exist. Israel has no right to exist in Palestine. It has already a homeland in Birbijan. People think that Jews have not, because we've been told this twist-speak and this nonsense, the Jews have not had a homeland since 70 AD when the Romans kicked them out. From where they'd actually conquered and brought misery and distress in the short time that they had occupation in Judea. But they have had a homeland, a peacefully established homeland, since 1928. And this area did not require any displacement of the populace, much less any genocide, state policy genocide, because Birbijan is the capital city of the area that is hardly known. Of course, it's in the encyclopedias. You can find it. But there has never been any connection made. No commentator at the moment mentions it, which gives people no hope of there being a solution. There is already a solution living, breathing, and happening. It's celebrating its 81st anniversary this year. And Birbijan, that's Birobidjan, is in 32,000 square kilometers, the size of Switzerland, on the southeast border of China and Russia, called the Jewish Autonomous Region. It is there. It has been peaceful since 1928, and in 1948, when there was no political impediment for European Jews to go to their homeland, we were lied to, and no one mentioned this place. They said they didn't have a homeland to go to, and they had to pirate Palestine. They did not. Right. And had they gone there, the Jews themselves were duped. Zionism has duped Jews. It's not just us. It's totally, because it's not good for Jews either. And I can only give you the perfect example that has been said by Ben-Gurion, the first Israeli prime minister. He said, and I say to Jews myself, I say, if I were a Jewish mother and I had two sons, I would not honor Ben-Gurion or any of the leaders of Israel or Zionism, because he said, and I quote, Ben-Gurion said, if I could save all the Jewish children in Germany by sending them to England, but saving only half of the Jewish children by sending them to Palestine, I would choose the second. That means that his imposture for getting this headquarters for dupe and misaddling people was more important to him than saving Jewish lives.
Jewish,
and it is the same lunacy that people are being taught in Palestine, that here is a state that protects and honors Jewishness.
Yeah, he'd be more happy to see the death of half the Jewish children in Europe rather than
That's right. So they have, so all this idea of going to the tsunami area and picking up all the dead Jewish bodies because they can't be buried with the non-Jews, and picking off the skin of any blown up Jew because he, every little piece of his skin is valuable. Right. This is nonsense.
Michelle, it's so important, and one thing you do, and one thing I try to do consistently, is try to give people. The big picture. And one reason why the Palestinians, even though there's a tremendous amount of opposition to Israel right now in Europe and America and around the world at this carnage, at this naked murder and terrorism and maiming and killing of civilians, these people are being strangulated in this country. They're being starved. It's just pathetic what's going on there. And one of the main reasons why nothing's been done about it is because people don't see the big picture. They don't see the fact that Israel's not simply a nation in Israel where this is going on, but they have agents of that nation in critical roles in media and government all over the world, not just America. They don't have the influence perhaps in the governments of Europe they have in the United States, but they've got a lot of influence. There's a lot of people in there behind Merkel, behind Gordon Brown, and so many other people all over the world. Sarkozy, who's part Jewish himself, and he's supposed to be a moderator in the Middle East. Well, how in the world can he be a moderator? He's part Jewish. Again, that's like having the referees from one side in a football game. It's impossible. But people have got to begin to get the idea that this is a worldwide problem, and that's why we haven't had resolution on it. Just take a look. I'll give you one example. I can get your commentary on this, and we talked about this right before the show started. We just recently had a meeting between Condoleezza Rice and, of course, Tzipi Livni. Yeah, Tzipi, whatever strange name, Livni. And so here's Israel, maiming thousands, killing well over 1,000, strangulating the whole Palestinian people, and they pardon me, you got to excuse my my cold.
Well, of course, that's per the founding policy, as I say, 1897. That's the founding policy that we're seeing before our eyes at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not seeing reaction to Nazism. We're seeing a founding policy 50 years before.
So they get together in Washington. Instead of Rice saying, stop the slaughter, they make a new pact saying that if any peace is done, that the United States is going to guarantee that the Palestinians get no weapons, have no weapons. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, we're supplying billions of dollars of the most severe weapons of human mass destruction and murder the world's ever seen. We've got bunker buster bombs that we've given Israel that are the equivalent to many atomic weapons in terms of destructive force. We've given Israel literally tens of thousands, millions actually, of explosive shells and bombs and grenades and thousands of modern missiles. We've given them tanks. We've given them fighter jets. And they've been using these jets to maim and kill thousands of Palestinians, steal people's land, and yet we're worried about making sure that the Hamas and the Palestinians don't even get a few handguns to defend themselves.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely incredible.
It's archetypal twist-speak.
But the only way this can go on, the only way they can get away with this is the fact that there are so many Jews, Jewish extremists, Jews who are dedicated to Israel, because there are some Jews who oppose Israel, but there's so many Jewish extremists in positions of power in the media that allow this to go on without challenging these people. I'm going to give you a little thing that I wrote, and the first time I've actually done something on the air about this, it'll take about a minute. I wrote about what I would say if I were a reporter on CNN, and they didn't ask Rice this, and they let these politicians get away with this stuff without any real good questions. And I would have said, Secretary Rice, you say you want to stop the smuggling of weapons to defenseless Gaza, but you have no problem with U.S. giving Israel billions of dollars worth of the most deadly weapons of mass destruction and murder known to man, weapons which Israel has used to indiscriminately slaughter thousands of Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look at the history of Israel. If you want to talk about victims of bombings, kidnapping, jailing, torture, suppression, hasn't Israel killed, tortured, maimed, or harmed literally thousands of Palestinians and other Muslims in the region? Thousands of them for every solitary Israeli victim. If terrorism is defined as the killing of innocent human beings for political purposes, is not Israel the biggest terrorist organization in the world? And finally, I would say, and when the United States supports Israel with weapons of mass destruction, is not the United States government a government that supports terrorism? So you have some comments on that?
Well, because it's we are not recognizing that we have lost all common sense in this belief in its imposture that it is, that Israel is a prophecy come true, which has been sold to the American public with this mass media that is completely duping everybody because it has such an ability to seduce and trick. And package something in a way that looks plausible, but actually when you look behind it, you see the bottom line of it is totally false.
Well, the Christians say that.
That is the tragedy.
This is a
maniacal, religious, pseudo-religious belief that the American people have been persuaded to believe. When they want to say that it's the Muslims who are suiciding and so on, they're the fanatics who believe in that. Those are the people who have given up on us, who have seen that we, in the rest of the world, don't have any common sense anymore. We don't have any sense of natural justice. They are so despairing, not only of their own situation, but the world has gone mad. And we ourselves now are going mad at the scene, because what is happening there is a mirror of our own position, because it's only a matter of degree. We are like the Palestinians in the world. We have the UN that it can be mocked by Zippy Libni. She can bomb the UN and we can do nothing about it. She is showing us that we can do nothing, that we have lost our common sense. We have actually bought into a religious lunacy where
Michelle,
we believe that these people
that
have a right to exist when they do not in this country. They have their own homeland, and that's where they should be, in Birobidzhan. And I recommend that your listeners go to www.birobidjan.co.uk. It's my Common Sense campaign. And there they will find that there is a solution, there is hope for everybody. It's an all-round hope. We have to have that in order to know what to do. First, we indict that whole people's leadership for war crimes.
Yes, they should be.
Led by this professor, your professor in Illinois, and then we all see these two bottom line points. Israel has no moral right to exist, and it has no need to exist. These people do not need two homelands. They have a homeland. It celebrates its 81st anniversary this year. It's a peaceful place, peacefully founded. There's the solution, and let's get rid of this terrible criminal state that is driving us all mad and showing us that we have completely fallen under the machinations of Judaism and its lunacy.
Right. Michelle, you know, they really, and for that matter, you don't have to even go to that Asian place. I mean, they control, literally control economically and socially and politically and militarily our foreign policy, the most powerful nation on earth economically and militarily, the United States of America. And by the way, they not only have bombed the Palestinians with impunity and they get away with it, they bombed Americans. And you were on a show today, of course, with Philip Turney, who was terribly wounded and a victim of the Israeli surprise terrorist attack on an American ship that killed 34 Americans, 173 were wounded and maimed.
And
many
the
of them
lifeboats.
Terribly burned.
Then they were attacked in their lifeboats.
Well, they actually destroyed the lifeboats, which was against the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
And these are not a bunch of right-wing fanatics or anti-Semites saying that Israel made this terrorist attack. You can quote the American Secretary of State at the time, the very famous and respected Dean Rusk, who at that time and since that time has said that Israel deliberately and purposefully made this terrorist attack against the United States, trying to blame the Egyptians. We had the Israeli president the other day, Katzoff, who was the president a couple of years ago, give medals to Jewish terrorists who blew up American installations in Egypt, trying to get us into – it's a false flag operation, trying to get us into a war against Egypt, which had cost also terrible numbers of American lives. And God knows billions and perhaps trillions of dollars. And, of course, they led us into the insanity of the Iraq War, which is a war for Israel, not a war for American interests. And that's cost, you know, tens of thousands of Americans who've been wounded and maimed, and their lives have been destroyed, and business has been destroyed, and marriage is being rent asunder by this war. And, of course, America's image and America's interests in the world have been hurt very badly by these conflicts. Well, Michelle, we're about out of time.
Empire.
Would you like to make one final, about 30 seconds, and give our listeners a final comment? And we've really been really thankful to have you on the air. And the fact that we're very thankful for the fact that you are one of the leading spokespeople in the world, telling the truth about Gaza, telling the truth about the dangers of Jewish extremism and supremacists.
Well, can I say that there are two men in your country who have sought political asylum, what I would call satirical asylum. They are Stephen Whittle and Simon Shepherd. They're in the Santa Ana jail at the moment. I sent them a Christmas card each in which I put a sticker that I had made for Christmas, which shows the throwing of the shoe at President Bush. In which I said, here's wishing everybody as spirited a 2009. Do you know that that card was returned? Both cards have been returned to me stamped unauthorized. In your own country, this Jeffersonian country, the land that we all admired for its freedom of speech and its backbone, now sends, will not allow these men to have a Christmas card which has a sticker like that on it, because you can't even make a joke about Bush's disgusting behavior. That's the kind of thing that's going on in the world now, and there is a most shocking experience.
Well, I think they're in the
Please
biggest
write
trouble.
To these men.
They're
they
in
are
the biggest trouble
Santa Ana jail.
They've been satirical about the Jewish power and the Jewish extremists, and that's the way it is today. If an individual like yourself or myself exposes Jewish extremism, Jewish hatred, Jewish mass murder, you know, as you know, Michelle, I've been called by the same Jewish media. They've been called a racist and a hater and a bigot. You know, and I never heard an individual human being in my life. And it's just amazing. Yet they have these Jewish extremists who have murdered thousands of innocent Palestinians, burned babies, destroyed people's homes while they slept, starved whole population, denied them medicine, stolen their land, stolen their property, and they're treated like ladies and gentlemen. They're treated like honored guests. They are honored persons to interview. There's a tremendous double standard. And so anyone who dares to expose Jewish extremism is always called an extremist. Anyone who exposes Jewish hate is called a purveyor of hate. Anyone who exposes Jewish murder is called a person with a murderous point of view. This is the way they operate. And I guess you and I have to live with those kinds of labels, but I would rather live with that kind of label and tell the truth than be a supine bootlicker like people like Obama and the
That's
politicians
right.
who run England and France. And
well, you want to be a real you want to be a real American and a real Brit, and these two are real Brits: Simon Shepherd, Stephen Whittle, Santa Ana jail. Write to them, please, with your sisters, and tell them that the Christmas card that I sent with a simple sticker on it was sent back to me unauthorized, because it's the only way these poor men have any idea that from Britain we send them Christmas cards. They can't have them because of the lack of freedom of speech and common decency that's even allowed in the land of the free now.
Well, thanks so much. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, my website has a very good search engine. You could search out these gentlemen's names, and they have articles about that. And we would urge our supporters to support these two men who are in jail basically for humor, for satire that exposes Jewish extremism and other issues of immigration and so forth in Britain and other important issues, issues that all people are concerned about. Every people on the planet wants to preserve their heritage and wants to preserve their way of life and their traditions and their values, and Europeans have that right. And I often tell the Palestinians this, and I have many Palestinian friends and friends throughout the Middle East as well as throughout the world, and I always say to them, I said, you know, the reason why you're in trouble in Palestine is the same reason why I'm in trouble, or the European people are in trouble in America and in Europe, is because we don't have a government that defends our own basic interests. If we had a government that defended our interests, our true interests, we wouldn't be enemies of the Palestinians. We wouldn't be supporters of this terrorist state of Israel. This whole process would have never happened. Every people needs to encourage every other people to advance, you know, their own basic interests, their own traditions, their own heritage, their own culture. And if that happens, people will act in their self-interest, and it's in their self-interest not to get involved in other people's wars or let this small, nasty country called Israel control our policies. Look, thanks
so
much.
That's what Jefferson said. Yeah. Let's not get into other people's countries. Let's mind our own business. It was a wonderful policy. Don't forget, please, www.birabidjan.co.uk. Let the people, the Jewish people, have their first homeland, and let us have peace without Israel in the world.
Thanks, Michelle, and God bless you, and please keep up your work. You are admired by people all over Britain, all over America, all over the world on so many issues. You have fought tooth and nail and been a heroine, a literal Joan d'Arc, defending the rights of freedom of speech of our people and heritage and trying to expose the incredible threat, the international Judaism, international Zionism, Jewish supremacism is to both your country and to the entire world. Thanks so much for being with me. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again very soon.
Thank you, David, and I'm always in good company with you.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukedave.com.